Shalom, everyone. I first off want to apologize for not being there with you this Shabbat. Of course, circumstances beyond our control prevent us from being there with you, but I do feel that there is something important that I feel the Father wanted me to share with you for this Shabbat. So I believe there are times and seasons that the Father wants to reveal certain things to us, and so I believe this is one of those things. As we're preparing to enter into Passover, because believe it or not, it's going to be here before you know it. So as we're preparing to enter into the time of Passover, we need to be aware that we are discerning and listening to His voice and not just our own desires, things that we may want to line up with what the Father says. And we need to discern not just the Father's heart, but we need to discern our own as well. So there's some things I want to cover this week for all of you. And if you bear with me while we go through this teaching, I want to share some things with you. And I hope it does encourage you. And I hope it does bless you. And I hope that it does help bring some clarification to what when we're listening for the Father. Okay. So one word is what we're going to talk about to start with. One word. That word is Hineni. Hineni. What does Hineni mean? It's here I am. That's it. The word Hineni is here I am. You may have heard it depending on which translation of scripture you read. It's here am I, you know, kind of thing, right? So Hineni is what I want to address. The idea behind this is that Yahweh has called many people by name in the scripture. Now there's quite a few people we can see that Yahweh has called, okay? But what I want to address more specifically in this study is where Yahweh has called to someone and they responded with Hineni. Okay, they responded with here I am. Not just that Yahweh has called you, okay, which, you know, we'll get to that. But when He calls you, how do you respond? When He calls you, do we respond Hineni, here I am? Or do we respond with excuses? You know, we read in Luke chapter 14 where someone prepared a banquet and then He sends His servants out to go invite all those friends and all these people to the banquet. And they start making excuses. I like how the one translation puts it, a chorus of excuses, you know. So they start making these excuses for why they can't come to this banquet that's been prepared for them. And so And then the master of the house says, we'll go off into, I'm going to paraphrase, the highways and the byways and invite whosoever will. Whoever desires to come have the banquet, they can come and partake and have this banquet with me. Okay? So there's some things we're looking at. How you respond when you're called. Okay? So this is what we're going to do. And we're going to go through a few people. And we're going to see how the Father calls us and how we respond in those situations. Okay. So we're going to start with Avram. Okay. We know that Avram was called by Yahweh, but He does call out to him as well. Let's take a look at something in Genesis 22, verses 11 to 18. It says, the angel of Adonai called to him from heaven and said, Avram, Avram. And he said, Hineni. And he said, do not reach out your hand against the young man. Do nothing to him at all. For now I know that you are one who fears God. You did not withhold your son, your only son, from me. And Avraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was a ram caught in the thick bushes by its horns. So Avraham went and took the ram, and he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of a son. We know the Akedah, right? The binding of Yitzhak. And this is where Yahweh told Avraham, take your son, your only son, Yitzhak, whom you love, and to go to the place that I will show to you and prepare him as a burnt offering, right? So this was a major test of faith for Avraham, and he did so. And when the time came, the angel of Yahweh, which I believe is Yeshua that we're talking about here, cried out from heaven, Avraham, Avraham, and he responded, Hineni. You know, here I am. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, I'm here. There's something behind it. Okay, the word Hineni means behold, right? To look at something, to behold something. So Hineni, it's not just saying, okay, I'm here, I'm present. It's I'm here and I'm attentive. Okay, I'm here and I'm waiting for what's being said. I'm here and I'm listening to you. I'm drowning out other things so I'm not distracted. I'm not focused on anything else. I am here. Excuse me. I am here and I am not distracted. I am here and I am focused on you. So then the angel cried out, Hineni, and he told him to stop here. He knows that he was willing to lay his life down. And at the same time, Yitzhak was willing to lay his life down too, right? And so this was a testimony of faith on both of their parts. And so Avraham responds, Hineni, and the covenant and the life and everything that was given to him was reconfirmed and given back into what the father had called him to. Verse 14, Genesis 22, 14. So Avraham named that place Adonai Yireh, as it is said today, on the mountain, Adonai will provide. Adonai Yireh is Yahweh Yireh. You may have heard Jehovah Jireh, okay? Yahweh Yireh is what's written there. And Yireh means he will see to it. All right, so it's not just like, you know, God will provide. Yes, it means God will provide, but it means he will see to it. So whatever was needed, and in this manner for Avraham, Yahweh saw to it that there was a blessing for him in that day, okay? Verse 15, so the angel of Adonai called to Avraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I swear, it is a declaration of Adonai, because you have done this thing and you did not withhold your son, your only son, I will richly bless you and bountifully multiply your seed like the stars of heaven and like the sand that is on the seashore, and your seed will possess the gate of his enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. So it's not just a matter of he heard his voice, he obeyed his voice, which we know that's really synonymous in the scripture. When we hear the phrase, to hear my voice, okay, that means we're obedient to what we heard. It's not just a matter of we heard sound. No, we heard the voice of Yahweh and we obey it. We do what he has said to do, all right? So that's what we're looking at here. So because Avraham was obedient, because he came before Yahweh and said, here I am, Yahweh said, you and your seed will be all the nations of the earth a blessing for them all, okay? So things will continue in that. Now, let's keep moving. We're going to try to move here pretty quick with these, okay? Jacob, when Yahweh cried out to him, right? Genesis 31, 11 to 13 is what we're going to look at. So then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Yaakov, and I said, Hineni, and he said, lift up your eyes and see that all the males going up to the flocks are striped, spotted, and speckled, for I've seen everything Laban has done to you. I am the God of Beth El, where you anointed a memorial stone, where you made a vow to me. So get up now and leave this land and return to the land of your relatives. So the story of Yaakov here is that after the incident with Esav, and they actually said a blessing for Yaakov and sent him away to go find a bride. And mom said, when your brother doesn't want to kill you anymore, I'll send for you. Keynote, side thing here, she never sent for him. But Yahweh intervenes here and says, Yaakov, now is the time for you to return. I have seen all these things, that I've seen everything that Laban has done to you, and how every time you guys made an agreement, he broke it. And no, that's not what I said. This is what I said. And I mean, every time they made an agreement, he broke it. And so Yahweh blessed him so that he would increase. And Yahweh actually made a way to move to where Yaakov was essentially gaining the wealth from Laban by Laban's own mouth, by his own thoughts. Because one of the things that we're talking about here, as an example, he said, so you can have all the sheep that are striped. Well, then all the sheep started producing striped sheep. So what's happened? Laban just lost that whole flock for that year, right? So then it's like, no. I didn't mean the striped. I meant the spotted. You can have the spotted ones. Well, then the next time they all give birth, they're all spotted, right? And so just systematically, Yahweh is removing everything from Laban and giving it to Yaakov, all right? So that's what's happening here. And so he cries out to him, and he took care of him. He gave him everything that he promised him when he was on the way to go find his bride, to go become a family while he was in exile. And Yahweh says, it is time for you to return and time to go back to Beth El, where you had the memorial stone, and you made the vows to me, you made these promises to me. But the note here is that when The angel of God called out to him. He responds, Hineni. And then he again told, he clarified the relationship that he had with him and then gave him a task. So it's a matter of not just saying, here I am. It's like, oh, I was just seeing if you were listening. No, it's now I have your attention. I want you to do something. There's something I have for you. There's an assignment. And guys, we all have an assignment. We all have something that the Father has called us to do a work in the kingdom. Okay. Going a little later in scripture, Genesis 46, Jacob, whose name is now Israel, is now discovering that his son Yosef is alive after he thought he was dead for 17 years. He's alive. Matter of fact, he's the ruler of Mitzrayim. And so they're going to go down there, but he has concerns, obviously, because one, the famine, and then another, is he supposed to go down there? I mean, if when there was a famine in the land before, his fathers were told to not go down to Mitzrayim, but now he's like, okay, but I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim. Is it okay to go down there? You know, he addresses Yahweh in this manner. He addresses him in the midst of this. Okay. So Genesis 46, 1-5, Israel sets out along with everything that belonged to him. When he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Yitzhak. In visions of the night, God said to Israel, Yaakov, Yaakov, and Hineni, he said, I am God, the God of your father. He said, do not be afraid to go down to Mizraim, for I will turn you into a great nation there. See, what he's saying is like, wait a minute, you know, you told my fathers not to go down here, but can I go down there? Again, he's just checking, right? What's going here? I want to make sure that I'm doing what Yahweh wants me to do. And so Yahweh appears to him and he clarifies again, relationship with him. I am your God. I am the God of your fathers. And this is the God that made promises to you and the God that you made promises to. I don't want you to be afraid to go down to Mitzrayim because it's part of my plan, right? Remember the plan? Yahweh told Abraham that his descendants are going to go down into a country that's not theirs, and they will be taken captive there, but Yahweh will bring them out with a mighty hand. Okay, technical glitch, guys. Something happened with the camera. That's okay. We're just going to jump right back in here and get right back into it, okay? So Genesis 46, 1-5, Yahweh is talking to Yaakov, who is now Israel, and he's telling him, don't be afraid to go down there. It's part of the plan. It's part of what I promised Abraham. This is going to happen. So this is being fulfilled here. These things are happening, right? You're a part of this plan. Verse 4, I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I myself will almost certainly bring you up. Yosef will put his hand on your eyes. And Yaakov arose from Beersheba, and Israel's sons carried Yaakov, their father, their little children, and their wives, and the carts that Pharaoh had sent to carry them. So again, he went down, and Yahweh proclaimed to him. He called out his name. He responded, Hineni. Yahweh said, a place of relationship with him. You know, familiarity, a place of relationship. He's not some foreign God. This is your Elohim speaking to you. And then he gave him a task. Yes, I want you to go down to Mitzrayim. I want you to do this. This is part of the plan that I have. And you will pass away in Mitzrayim. Yosef will cover your eyes. That's what he's saying. You will pass away, but you will become a great mighty nation. There is the promises that we find that were given all the way through here. Okay, let's go to Moshe. Let's talk about Moshe for a minute. Moshe, we know Yahweh called out to Moshe at the burning bush, right? So let's take a quick look. Exodus 3, 1-4. Now Moshe was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Yitro, the priest of Midian. So he led the flock out of the furthest end of the wilderness, coming to the mountain of God, Horeb. And the angel of Adonai appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. So he looked and he saw the bush burning with fire, yet it was not consumed. And Moshe thought, I will go now and see this great sight. Why is the bush not burnt? And when Adonai saw that he turned to look, he called him out of the midst of the bush. He said, Moshe, Moshe, and he answers, Hineni. So again, it's not just that Yahweh called Moshe, but Moshe responded and answered, Hineni. He turned aside to go focus on what was happening there. First was curiosity, this great sight, and I imagine he believed something supernatural was going on there. And as he started to approach, Yahweh spoke out to him and revealed the burning bush and himself who dwelt in the midst of the burning bush to him, right? So there's some things going on there. Of course, we know what happened there. Yahweh says, you're going to be a deliverer. I want you to go and I want you to speak to Pharaoh, speak to Israel, say all these things. Moshe was kind of arguing with Yahweh a little bit back and forth, but ultimately Moshe goes and Yahweh gave him the task. Moshe went and Israel did come out of Mitzrayim. Okay, let's take a look at Samuel, Shmuel. It's an interesting thing here because Samuel, you may or may not know the story, okay? Go back and read 1 Samuel, what's going on here. Hannah wanted a child, and she was without a child. And they went to the temple. It was one of the Moedim. They went to the tabernacle, the Mishkan, that was in Shiloh. So they went there, and she went and prayed before the Lord and was beside herself, was distraught. She was crying out for a child. The priest Eli thought she was drunk from the way she was acting and said, "This is not proper for you to be acting this way. What are you doing here like this?" And she told him basically, no, she was just crying out to the Lord. And Eli said something. He said, "The Lord will grant you your desires. Just be well, you know, get up and go. You know, you're good. Yahweh heard you, okay?" And he did. So what happens? She conceives. She has a son. And what she had promised Yahweh was, "If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And that's what happens. Now, the interesting thing here is she brought Shmuel to Eli to raise. Eli was a priest, right? He was from the tribe of Levi. He was a priest. And his sons were not doing well. But yet, Hannah kept her word. And after he was weaned, brought Shmuel in, gave him to Eli to raise in the service of Yahweh. So he was raised in the service. And you could essentially say he did a lot of the things that a Levite would do. But he wasn't a Levite. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. So that's just a whole nother interesting scenario, interesting things that are going on there. But so he's a young boy. And now we have this exchange that's going on here in 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11. So now the boy Shmuel was in the service of Adonai under Eli. In those days, the word of Adonai was rare. There were no visions breaking through. One day, Eli was laying down in his place. Now his eyes had grown dim so that he could not see, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Shmuel was lying down in Adonai's temple where the ark of God was. Then Adonai called Shmuel, so he answered, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he replied, "I didn't call. Go back to sleep." So he went back and lay down. This is kind of a interesting thing that's going on here because Shmuel responded correctly, "Hineni, here I am." But he was misguided in who was calling him. So he heard a voice, but he couldn't necessarily discern the voice that he heard. He had not yet heard the voice of Yahweh. So he couldn't discern the voice that he was hearing. So all he knows is that he was being called. So he thought, "Well, Eli must be calling me." And he went to Eli and he was asleep. But he said, "Well, he called." So he woke him up and said, "You called for me?" He said, "No, I didn't call for you. Go back to sleep," right? And so the point here as we start this is he had the right response, but he didn't discern who it was coming from. And I think that's a good lesson for us as well. We can have something impressed upon us. We can see or feel like we're hearing something from Yahweh. You know, when we're reading in the scriptures, just kind of feel like he's really impressing something in our hearts, really wanting to say something, but is he? You know, we have to discern not just the heart of the Father, like I said, but we have to discern our own hearts in these things as well, okay? So what happens next? Verse 6, so then Adonai called Shmuel again, and Shmuel rose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I didn't call, my son. Go back to sleep." Now, Shmuel had not yet experienced, or had not experienced Adonai yet, since the word of Adonai had not yet been revealed to him. And Adonai called Shmuel again for the third time. And so he got up and went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli perceived that it was Adonai calling the boy. I can imagine that this was getting frustrating on both of their parts. Okay, I can imagine they were both getting a little upset here. So Eli go to sleep. And then here Shmuel wakes him up. "You called me?" "No, I didn't call you. I was sleeping. Go back to sleep." And he comes again. "You called me?" "No, I didn't call you. What's wrong with you? Go back to sleep." And then he comes a third time. "You called me. I'm here." "No, I didn't call you." And then it started kind of click. Wait a minute. who would be calling him? Right? So this is where saying, so now he perceives, oh, it's Yahweh that's calling you. And so what does he tell him to do? To turn his direction and his focus to Yahweh. And so he said, here's what you do. Verse 9, go back to sleep. And if he calls you, say, speak, Adonai, for your servant is listening. So in other words, like Hineni, it's the same thing, but said differently. You speak, Yahweh, for your servant is listening. Hineni, it's meaning the same thing. Here I am, I'm coming before you, and I am intently listening to you. Okay, and that's what was going on. So, speak, Adonai, your servant is listening. So Shmuel went back and lay down in his place, and Adonai came and stood and called as the other time, Shmuel, Shmuel. Then Shmuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And Adonai said to Shmuel, behold, I am about to do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone that hears it will tingle. So, amazing things going on. He called to him, and he gave him a task. What about Isaiah? Yeshayahu. Isaiah, okay, what do we got to say about him? Isaiah 6 is when Yahweh calls out, essentially calls out, who will? And then Isaiah responds. Okay, and that's what we're looking at here in Isaiah 6. It's an amazing picture when you go through it. You know, as you read Isaiah chapters 1 through 5, he's calling Israel out on their sins and doing all of these things. It's amazing to how he's responding to people. It kind of looks like he's just kind of like yelling at people, beating people over the head, doing things. But in Isaiah 6, his tone changes. Now, he still has to go to Israel, and he still has to proclaim their sins, and still has to call them to repentance, okay, is what he's doing. But yet, the attitude and the heart behind everything has changed, right? So Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Adonai sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him, and each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is Adonai Sabaoth. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then the posts of the door trembled at the voice of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, oy to me, woe is me, for I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I am dwelling among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Adonai Sabaoth. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And what does he do with them? So he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are atoned for. Then I heard the voice of Adonai saying, whom should I send, and who will go for us? So I said, Hineni, send me. So Yahweh kind of puts the call out here. Who is going to do this? Of course, Yeshayahu's right there. He's the one. He's the one who's before Yahweh, and he's like, I'm here. I will go. Behold, I am here. I will go. Right, and so he responds to him in that way. And this is what I want to look at as well. So, and in other instances, we see where you know Yahweh calls him out by name, but here Yahweh just kind of puts out for a whosoever will. And Yeshayahu was there. He was there in front of Yahweh. He was in the throne room. I've heard it said before that Yahweh isn't as concerned about your ability as he is your availability. What I mean by that is, are you willing to yield to him? Or are we only willing to do what we feel we can or want to do? Are we willing to surrender to Yahweh and let him lead us in the directions that he wants us to go, right? Because that's where he gets the glory. He equips us to do things we didn't think we could do. And he gets the glory for all of it, all right? So the point I want to make is Yahweh sees you. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you've been. He knows what's happened in your life. He sees you, and he has not abandoned you. He's calling you. We see places in Scripture where people felt they were failures, but Yahweh saw them and called to them and restored them and gave them promises, all of these things that we see here. One example we see is Hagar. Avram and Sarah, I remember the whole issue where Yahweh says, you're going to have a son. And they said, great, but I don't. And after a period of time, Sarai said, well, I don't see this happening. So take Hagar and maybe she will bear the son that God has promised. We know that wasn't the case. Okay. Brought forth Ishmael. And then afterwards is when Yitzhak came forward. Remember, it was 25 years after Yahweh gave him the promise that Yitzhak came forth. Okay, so there's a lot to be said for that. So Hagar was beside herself. Her and her son were being sent away because Yitzhak, if you go back and read the story, Genesis 16, go back and read the story. What was happening was Yitzhak was being weaned, and they were having a celebration because he was being weaned. So he was a child who was just being weaned. So a very small child, toddler, right? And and Ishmael was about probably between 13 to 15 or so, or maybe between 13 and 16, somewhere in that range. And he was making fun of Yitzhak, and Sarah couldn't handle that. And we know that there was some jealousy there between Sarah and Hagar and all that anyway. So she sent them away. And so she was beside herself. You know, Hagar was beside herself. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? And Yahweh appeared to her and said, you know, don't worry. The boy will become a great nation. He is descended from Abraham. He will become a great nation. Because remember what Yahweh promised Abraham. But he said, the one that I promise you is going to have the blessing. Okay. He is the one who's going to have the covenant and to have the one where the whole world will be blessed. But because you had Ishmael, I said I would bless those who came from you. So I will bless him. So we have that. So Hagar declares, you are the God who sees me. She was in distress. And she didn't know what she was going to do. I mean, consider, she literally had lost everything. And she said, you are the God who sees me. You are the one who understands. Even though life looks difficult, life looks hard, things are going on, I don't understand. And I don't know why I'm in this situation. But you see me. And that's what I want you to understand. No matter what we've been through, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter how others may have treated you or mistreated you, no matter what's been going on, he sees you. And he is Yahweh Yireh. He will see to it. He will provide. He is the one who does go before you. Okay? I want to make a few points here. One, Yahweh does not call us all to the same task. He calls us to be part of a body. Now, there is a place in the kingdom for everyone in the kingdom, but not everyone in the kingdom has the exact same place, because then the body wouldn't function properly. See, in order for the body to function properly, for the kingdom to function properly, we all have to be in the places where Yahweh has put us. And the gifts that he has given us, we use them. And our personalities, we use them. The way that he's raising us up and training us and discipling us and doing these, we grow in those. We become a part of the body that benefits the rest of the body. When all the parts of the body are in the right place and functioning as they're supposed to, it is a blessing to the entire body. And that's what we're supposed to be. Yahweh sees you and he's developing you and putting you and within you what you need to fulfill the task he's called you to do. See, you are called as an individual. When Yahweh calls you and he redeems you, he redeemed you. But he also calls you to be part of a body, to be part of a people who are set aside, a people called by his name. So when Yahweh calls you and he gives you a task, he gives you what you need to complete that task. And be mindful of this. When most were called, it wasn't just for them. It was for them to have an impact on the lives of those around them, their family, their friends, communities, cities, countries, nations, the world. When Yahweh called someone to something, it was to go beyond themselves. They would be blessed in the midst of it, but it was to go beyond themselves to be a blessing or to perform the task that would be beneficial to many people. We look in Romans 12, 1 through 5, where it says, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to use sound judgment as God has assigned to each person a measure of faith. Verse 4, for just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and everyone parts of one another. See that? We are one body in the Messiah, but we are parts of one another. That means we need to learn to function together. It means we need to learn to work together. And we need to let Yahweh equip us for what he has called us to do. Each part of the body needs to do their part. And if we have, you know, one part to try to do another part, you know, if we have the hand trying to do the job of the foot, it's not going to work that well. You still may end up getting where you're going, but it would be a lot more efficient and better off if you would have just done it the way he designed it. Right? Colossians 3, 12 to 17 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in tender compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord pardoned you, so also you must pardon others. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfect harmony. Verse 15, let the shalom of the Messiah rule in your hearts. To this shalom you were surely called in one body. Also be thankful. You are called to be part of the body of the Messiah. That means there are people all over the world who are part of this body. But we need to see ourselves as part of the body. When one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. One part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice, right? So be part of the body and be thankful. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you, richly teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So again, what I wanted to point out to you is just this. Yahweh knows you, and he's calling you. He knows you, and he is calling you. Another example where Yahweh has called people by name, Exodus 35, verses 30 to 35, in the Torah portion by Yechel, where he's talking about building the Mishkan, building the tabernacle. In verse 30, he says, Moshe says to Bnei Israel, the sons of Israel, see, Adonai has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Ruach of God, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and all manner of craftsmanship, to make ingenious designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze. See this? He called him, and he told all the sons of Israel, I have called by name, Bezalel. Right? So, in front of all of Israel, he's being called out to serve Yahweh. And he's giving him the task at hand. Okay? Verse 33. As well as cutting gemstones for setting, wood carving to make all kinds of skillful craftsmanship, he has also placed in his heart the ability to teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and he has filled them with the spirit or with the wisdom of heart to forge all the works of an engraver, an artisan, and an embroiderer in blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, as well as weaving. They can perform every craft and ingenious designs. So one of the things I want to see here, Yahweh is called by name, Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur. So, Kara Yahweh Bashem. Yahweh has called. Kara is the word used there for call. And it's to call or proclaim. So, he calls out and proclaims by name Bezalel. Now, we go in a little more in depth in this in the Torah portion of Vayikel, which we're not going to do right here today. But if you want to look that up, Torah portion of Vayikel, you can on our YouTube channel. But Bezalel means in the shadow of God. Bezalel is a shadow El is short for Elohim. So Betzalel is in the shadow of God. Literally, Zel meaning shadow can also mean in the image of, like a mirror image, like in an image of. So it's not just shadow, it's in the image of. So we have Betzalel in the image of Yahweh, in the image of Elohim, is the one who is to help make the tabernacle for Yahweh to dwell in. That's a picture of you again. You, Adam was made in the image of Yahweh, and he and we need to prepare ourselves for him to dwell in. Prepare a place for Yahweh to reside. We surrender our hearts to him, and he said he will come and dwell within you. Okay, so he's called by name, he's proclaimed by name, Betzalel. Now, a few other things I want to share with you. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. For the music director, a psalm of David, Adonai, you searched me and know me. Whenever I sit down or stand up, you know it. You discern my thinking from afar. You observe my journeying and my resting, and you are familiar with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, Adonai, you know all about it. You can go on and continue reading it in Psalm 139, and the whole idea is, you know me. You know everything about me. Even before I knew it myself, you know me. And he does. He knows you. Isaiah 43, 1 to 3 says, but now thus says Adonai, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, or through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flame burn you, for I am Adonai your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And in John 10:27, Yeshua says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's what we're supposed to do. We hear his voice. He knows us and we follow him. We hear the voice of our shepherd and we respond. It's not just, oh, I hear the voice of my shepherd. I'll catch up with him later. No, we hear the voice of our shepherd and we respond. We follow him. In 1 John 2, 1 through 6, we read, my children, I am writing these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an intercessor with the Father, the righteous, Messiah Yeshua. He is the atonement for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the whole world. Now we know that we have come to know him by this, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, the love of God is truly made perfect. We know that we are in him by this. Whoever claims to abide in him must walk as he walked. See that? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. What does it mean to follow him? We hear his voice and we respond by doing what he said. We hear and we do. Na'aseh v'nishma, that was declared at Mount Sinai, but we hear and we do. So we hear and we respond. Ephesians 1, 2 through 4. Grace and shalom to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. He chose us. See that? I chose you. I know you. He chose us in the Messiah before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He knows you and he chose you because he loves you. Okay? John 15, 16 to 17, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I selected you so that you would go and produce fruit, and your fruit would remain. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. These things I command you so that you may love one another. See, he's talking to those who are around him. He said, guys, I chose you. I chose you. You know, where he went to them and he said, follow me, right? He said, I chose you. And I chose you so that you would produce good fruit. So he chose them and equipped them and then sent them to the task, right? That's the point I'm getting at here today, guys. Yahweh knows you and he is calling to you. How are you going to respond? He knows you. He's calling you by name. You are his. He loves you. He's asking for you to hear his voice and to follow him, walk with him, and how do we do that? Yeshua put it this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and in your might. and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things hang or depend all the Torah and the prophets. How do we do that? Love Yahweh. As we love Yahweh, we will be loving what and whom he loves. So we love him, we hear his voice, we follow him, and in the midst of that, he will help us to love one another and to show the kingdom and the heart of the Father to those around us, to make a difference and to make an impact. You have a role in the kingdom. You have things to be doing here in the earth. Yeshua said he came so that you can have life and have it abundantly. So you can have a life and have a life that's worth living and to be able to share that life with those around you. I pray that we do so. So may you be blessed. May you be a blessing. And may the rest of your day be filled with the heart of the Father. May his presence envelop you and go before you. May you be blessed in all that you do. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Yivarechecha Yahweh Vayishmarecha Yahweh Yahweh Panavilecha Vichunecha Yisa Yahweh Panavilecha Vyasem Lecha Shalom. May Yahweh now bless you and keep you. May his face now shine upon you. May you show forth the light of his countenance. And may he give you his peace.